Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Would you help a foster child? Most people would say yes. CASA, the abbreviation CASA, C-A-S-A, stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate, which is a nonprofit now located with South Office in Upland, ran by Diane Smyers. I talked to Diane Smyers today about her program, how she's looking for volunteers, and what a volunteer has to do, the commitment, also how it's fun helping these foster children, and how the community in Upland and surrounding communities have stepped up to help care for these foster kids through her events, through her programs, through her marketing, through churches, through community centers overall. Okay, CASA is a great program. This is my second interview with her. Now, during these COVID times, is the most important time. They need help understanding how they can avoid isolation, how they can find a mentor, someone to help them get through these years of up to 18, even beyond that, become a successful and happy adult. So listen to Talk with Diane. That point, again, the show notes has the highlights to the full video, her connections and her way to connect with her office and her directly. And the show notes has actually the actual top we're talking about too, all the highlights from there. Go to Right Talk. If not, go right to Talk, and I'll wrap it up afterwards.
Hello again. This is Dr. Tony at your chiropractic clinic in Upland, chiropractic in Upland, Carmen Cucamonga, also host of Crooked Spine Show. And I want to have Diane on today. She works for CASA. She'll walk through what that is. We'll see in the show notes what CASA does. The biggest thing I did interview with them, I want to say them in the main office probably about 3 years ago. And now Diane started an Upland office, an outreach program here through Upland. And she's done a great job with the chamber and the community, get the name out, what it's that even a local fundraiser they did recently, even next week too, to help more kids that are in foster homes get more, I want to call it a better quality of life, but she'll explain what that means. All right, so Diane, take it over, introduce yourself and see how things go.
Okay, perfect. My name is Diane Smyers. I'm the community outreach coordinator for the west end of San Bernardino County, for CASA of San Bernardino County. And what CASA is we recruit and train community members to mentor kids that are in foster care. And these are kids that just need a little extra TLC, a little additional hand-holding, who are just having a rougher time with the foster care system in general, who aren't necessarily resilient, which all of our kids are incredibly resilient, but you know, they just need a little extra help.
And what we mean by help, what does that mean? I know what that means, but they don't know what it means.
Right. So what that means by helping is you are connecting them to people, places, and things. So maybe they're on psychotropic medication and they need, they're having difficulty staying awake during the day, during class. So what they do is they would communicate with the doctors or psychiatrists and say, hey, doc, this is affecting my youth in this way. Can we modify this medication? Or we may say the youth may need cleats for a sport, or they may need tutoring. So we can advocate for that youth to get those services necessary for them to succeed. And on the far end of the spectrum, when our kids graduate from high school, many of them want to go to college, but they don't know how to. They don't know how to go about the process. And so our CASA volunteers can then go and help walk them through that process. Anything from financial aid to go in and tour in the schools and getting them set up for classes.
You almost see the link between not adult life, but being an adult parent going, okay, I didn't know this, they're just naive, how do I get there? And you're linking them to hopefully, potentially, a better life down the line by giving them those initial parental guidance.
Exactly. And, you know, especially in today's climate with COVID-19, our kids are terrified. I mean, even before this, our kids were terrified. They are confused. They don't know about the foster care system. You don't know unless you've been there. Mm. What to do, what's available, what's not available. You just go through life as, you know, foster parents or group home staff say, okay, this is what you're going to do today. But in this case, you know, with COVID-19, our kids are even more anxious, more confused, don't understand why they're being isolated, why they can't see their friends, why they can't leave their home. And so that's why CASA volunteers are so important. Even though we can't go and physically see our kids, we can do things. And I can say, I am very proud of the volunteers that we do have, because they are going above and beyond to love on these kids by sending care packages, by sending handwritten cards or notes? I mean, how long has it been since people have sent hard, you know, handwritten cards or notes? You know, they're connecting via social media, or connecting via Zoom to do Zoom calls, whatever it may be, to stay connected to our kids, and help, still helping to provide that connection.
And walk us through, how does a child get into the foster system? Because I want to give people that beginning and all the way to the end of how to become a volunteer. But how does a child end up in the foster care system?
So there's several different ways. One is, let's say that both parents are deceased and there's no family members for whatever reason that can take them in, or okay, there's no close friends that can do that. But also it could be because of abuse, neglect, addiction. There's a variety of ways, but that's the majority of the way that kids come into foster care. Somebody has reported to either the police or Child Protective Services that there is an issue. They've investigated and determined that that child, for their safety, needs to be removed.
Wow. Okay. And what age group is usually involved with someone going to foster program?
So anybody that's under the age of 18. So our program serves 0 to 21. But okay, in order to go into the foster care system, they would have to be 0 to 18 years old.
Okay. In a certain region that CASA works with, Southern California, San Bernardino County only, or how does that work?
No, so CASA is a national program.
Okay.
So we have CASA programs in almost every county. There's over 1,000 CASA programs throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. Our program specifically serves San Bernardino County. And so our county is the largest county in the nation. And so, you know, we need road warriors, that are willing to go to the ends of San Bernardino County all the way to just working in your local community with the youth.
Yeah, because the county goes all the way to the California border, correct, in Nevada?
Exactly.
Crazy.
It is. So, yeah.
And going from that to becoming a volunteer, how does that process go, Dan? Walk us through the details, please.
So, there's a couple of things. One, you have to be at least 21 years old.
Okay.
You have to have a valid driver's license, valid car insurance. You have to be willing to go through live scans, which is doing a background check through the FBI, Department of Justice, as well as the Child Abuse Central Index. Mm. And there's a variety of steps along the way. We put you through a pretty rigorous screening process, obviously, because we want to keep our kids safe. It's our responsibility to keep them safe. And also, we want to make sure that one of the things that we do is we take you through an interview process.
Okay.
And that interview is about an hour long. And with that, we dig a little deeper into your personal background if you want to volunteer with our kids. And we do that as much for the volunteer as we do for the youth, because let's face it, everybody has some kind of trauma in their life.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure, one, that we're not triggering that volunteer. And two, we want to make sure that if they have a certain background, let's say, we want to make sure that we're not teaming that volunteer up with a youth that has a very similar background.
Okay.
Got it. So what a volunteer would do is if they want to investigate, see if this is the right program for them, they can reach out to us on our Facebook or on our website. They can email me directly or call the CASA offices, and we're more than happy to help. We just set up a online info session.
Saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so info sessions used to be once a month in our offices. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we can't do that. So we put together a quick info session. It's about 50 minutes. And gives you more detailed information.
Great. And when you're a volunteer, and say you get through the process, after the interview, what's the next step? Is it written testing? Is there educational material? What do they have to go through? Yeah. How many testings are there, and how long does that process take?
So once you get through the interview and the screening process, then what we do is we put you through 30 hours of training.
Okay.
It used to be classroom training. And partially partially online, partial in classroom training. So now it's going to be via Zoom and online training. So it's going to be a combination of. So it's 18 hours of training with myself or one of our other community outreach team members, and then 12 hours online on your own, watching heart-wrenching videos, as well as, you know, just learning more about our processes, learning more about the juvenile justice system, as well as child psychology, you know, learning about how to write court reports or whatever is, and I'm blanking on all the content right now. Same on me.
Yeah. But, and a lot of what we talked about before, I think, is you're a court appointed advocate. So you have to be able to, in the court's language, how do you describe what's going on with this child?
So what we do is in our court reports, our advocate supervisors, one of our advocate supervisors or our program manager would actually train them on how to write those court reports. Mm-hmm. And my supervisor, Maggie, has a great saying that I love, which is not about me without me. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to write a court report without including our kids' input.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, Johnny, I'm writing a court report to go to the judge. Is there anything that you want me to say? Is there anything that's important for you to say to the judge? And sometimes that's just, hey, I just want to be able to play sports, you know, or I don't want to live here anymore.
Yeah.
And those are important things. But so, you know, when they do go to court with our kids, you know, they're going to support our kids. They're not going there to speak to the judge on behalf of our kids. Their court report does the speaking. If the judge has any questions, they may ask, but it's very rare. And they're there to support the youth. And we are one of the few programs where advocate supervisors come to court, every court hearing with our kids as well, to not only support the volunteer, but to support the youth.
Mm. So you, even as a volunteer, still have a mentor to walk you through this process, like such as yourself. So there's there's always someone there to ask questions to, get advice from, everything like that.
Okay. Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Good. What's the fun part of being an advocate?
The fun part is seeing a kid that may be withdrawn. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my phone's going off.
It's okay, you got to multitask. I can't.
Seeing a youth that may be withdrawn, that is just terrified. And over time, spending time with the volunteer, seeing them blossom, coming out of their shell.
Okay.
Seeing that self-confidence, you know, come to the forefront. Mm. And so that's always very encouraging to see.
And what's the fun things that volunteers will do with these kids? And is it 20 hours a week, or how many hours a week a month is usually recommended or required?
Right. So we ask for 12 to 15 hours a month. That is not all face-to-face time. In our pre-COVID world, that 12 to 15 hours would include drive time to and from the youth's home or placement. That would include any time that you spend face-to-face with the youth, or even making phone calls to their social workers or to their attorneys, to the you know, checking out resources. Let's say that they want to go to the museum. You know, hey, are there free days that they can go?
Yeah.
You know, anything that has to do with our kids, that time counts towards those 12 to 15 hours.
And when someone does their volunteer work, is it usually, do they usually on average spend 10 to 15, or is it more, or is it more than that sometimes?
It all depends. When kids are being, our kids are moved so many times. Mm. And so when our kids are moved, usually our CASA volunteers will spend a little extra time with them as they help with that transition, because our kids are getting used to a new family or a new environment, new kids, new everything. Mm. And so I know when I move, I'm terrified, mostly because I know I have a mountain of boxes that I have to go through, but If you think about, you know, a kid in foster care who has nobody, they're, when they move, they literally are given a black trash bag to put their belongings in. Our kids are not, our kids are not trash, so I have an issue with that. But at the same time, they're moved, and now they have to unpack those trash bags and try to have a new sense of normal. You know, in a, it's just not a natural thing. And they, so in many cases, our kids, the only person that they have is their CASA volunteer. They may not
have, trust.
And so they may not have connections with their siblings. They may not have connections with bio families. They may not, you know, when they're moved place to place, when they're moved school to school, they kind of have the mentality of, why invest in any relationships when I'm just going to get moved again?
Makes perfect sense.
And so that's, again, one another reason why our kids need CASA volunteers.
And when someone, a kid is moved, a child's moved, is it usually within the same county?
Typically, however, there has been times where the county does not have enough beds. So they may be moved to Riverside County, LA County. We've had kids that have been moved, you know, out of state. We've had kids that have been moved up to Northern California. It really all depends on the situation.
And going to the fun part of being an advocate again, what are fun things that are commonly done with a child?
So that could be anything from, you know, going to McDonald's and having lunch. And it's amazing how many of our kids have never been out to a fast food restaurant. Or, I mean, we take for granted the fact that we get that luxury. Even now in a COVID society, we get that luxury of, hey, if we want to go through the drive-thru, we can do that. Our kids don't always have that luxury. They've gone to baseball games, football games. You know, they may go to concerts, free concerts in the park, whatever it may be. We don't want our volunteers to spend a lot of money because it is coming out of their pocket. You know, we, for those volunteers that may have youth that have been moved out of the county and maybe further away, you know, we work with them so that they're still connected to their youth, but maybe they don't see them in person as often. But there's tons of things that, that our volunteers have done that I'm thinking, wow, I wish I would have, you know, I wish I would have had them as my volunteers.
And when you mentioned to you previously about medical conditions sometimes these kids may have, how does a volunteer get involved with that? Is there a HIPAA compliance condition problem, or being a volunteer kind of gets you away from that?
So when our kids typically come into the system at some point, you know, of course they're going to be anxious, they're going to be depressed. The first go-to is psychotropic medication, unfortunately. But we've seen that when a CASA volunteer, first and foremost, spends that time with the youth, and over time, they build that rapport and that relationship with the youth, more often than not, one of two things happen. Either one, the youth minimizes the need for those psychotropic medications, or two, they are able to get off of those psychotropic medications altogether. That's because that anxiety and that fear has now been taken away.
Well, they found someone that cares enough about them.
Absolutely.
To remove some of the anxiety and fears that they're that out of the 100, they've removed maybe 30, 40, which is phenomenal.
Right. Absolutely. And the other thing too is that the CASA volunteer, if they're learning from the teachers or from their placement that they're concerned about the medications, that CASA volunteer, as being court appointed, has the same rights as a parent does. Good. So they can go to that doctor and say, hey, doctor or psychologist or psychiatrist or primary doctor, this is what I've seen.
Yeah.
And they have that same right, like I said, like the parent does. To advocate on their youth's behalf.
And going from the doctor's visits, for example, to school, these kids are obviously in school. How much of a I guess, mental challenges to go from school to school, or if they're just starting in the program, how is a child transitioned into that?
Are you asking school to school and transitioning into the new school?
Probably both, going into a foster care into maybe a new school, and or getting transferred into a new school. Is that the same process or something different?
So going school to school, it's the same process as far as foster youth have priority. So let's say the school is full. It's a matter of that youth gets in first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, every time our kids move from school to school, they lose about 6 months of education.
Wow.
Now, understand that, let's say that they are at a prestigious high school or junior high that have high academic standards and they're testing high. They may be moved to a lower grade school and vice versa. And so if they're going from a lower level school, and I can use this example. I spent 4 years, or I'm sorry, about 11 years in the Azusa Unified School District. It's not the top academic level school. But if that youth is moved now to Redlands, and Redlands is a highly sought after school district, they are going to struggle because they're not at the same academic excellence.
Wow.
And yeah, so they may say you have to repeat a grade in order to move forward.
And the advocate might be able to be involved enough to go, hey, look, my foster child isn't doing well, so what? I'm going to talk to my teachers, the admin, maybe move him down a grade early so he doesn't waste that year.
We typically don't want to do that unless that's in the best interest of the child.
Okay.
And then we have to have a bigger discussion with a lot more people than our CASA volunteers.
Okay.
That's when they get the advocate supervisor, the advocate supervisor gets the program manager involved. Mm-hmm. You know, it may require our executive director or our executive director's permission, the courts. Like I said, it's a bigger discussion. Mm-hmm. We don't have that right or responsibility to hold them back.
Got it. Yeah, it's just like with the system, it's got to be able to understand how the system works.
Exactly. Good. Exactly. Yeah. Good. So,
and when someone ages out of the CASA program, even like I said, foster children 21 at that range, do they usually lose track of them, that's it, or what happens usually afterwards?
So there's a couple of things. One, they can choose to leave the foster care system at 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, at 18, I surely thought that I knew everything about life.
We all did. Come on. You did.
Exactly.
Back
then. Exactly. But if they stay one day past their 18th birthday, mm-hmm. Let's say that they go out and try try life,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't work out the way they hoped, just like a parent, you can come back into the foster care system until you're 21 years of age.
Okay.
And then from there, when they age out at 18 or 21, it is very typical that our CASA volunteers stay connected. They make mm-hmm. lifelong connections with these kids. And oftentimes, even though our job is to work ourselves out of a job mm-hmm. as a volunteer, these volunteers are incredible, and they do a great job of just wanting to stay connected with those kids for mm-hmm. life. Some of our kids have been adopted, mm-hmm. you know, as teenagers, but their CASA volunteer is a part of that new family, and that. Because the new family sees that value with, you know, with that relationship.
Wow.
But I can say that in many cases, these are lifelong connections that are not broken with our kids.
Well, if you have a good heart, you have a good heart. And I think
if
you build that, and even though you're not their parent, it allows you mean to where I can develop this child more by spending more time. You've invested the first 3 days probably is probably the hardest to get that connection. Once you're connected, boom, at that point, it flows easier.
Exactly. And, you know, when CASAs are first appointed, our kids are very leery because here's another adult that's going to come into my life that's going to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. And we are not that. We are the first person in their life that is not paid to care about them. So, you know, social workers, doctors, attorneys, you know, teachers, even the group home staff or the placement are paid to care about them. We're not.
Yeah.
And so once they know that, we get immediate street credit. And so we're, you know, we're just, as soon as they know that, then it's, sometimes it can be an instantaneous change, but also our kids have been traumatized, obviously. Sometimes they've had secondary traumas experienced in the foster care system. Sadly, that does happen from time to time. So they're very distrustful. So it may take them a little bit longer in order to build that relationship, you know, or that trust level with our volunteers.
Yeah.
And that's why we ask for an 18-month commitment from our volunteers.
18 months, okay.
Yes, but our average volunteer spends about 3 to 5 years with our kids.
Wow.
And we have volunteers. We have one volunteer in particular that has been with us 11 years.
Mm.
Not with the same youth, but she served multiple youth.
That's great. So,
yeah. So.
And why did you guys open the Upland office? What was the reason by doing this? When I first met you, it was over at the San Marino office, main office.
Correct. In Colton.
Colton, yeah. Sorry.
So that's okay. So we found that, I mean, our administrative office is in Colton.
Okay.
We did open an Apple Valley location to serve the High Desert kids. And then also we saw a need on the west end of the county to, you know, to be able to recruit volunteers, you know. And so a lot of volunteers, some of the barriers were, hey, I don't want to drive to Colton.
Okay.
Apple Valley to do training.
Yeah.
And so we are able now to do the trainings here in the Upland office. So now they have, instead of one or two offices, they have three offices to choose from.
Wow.
And then they can also meet with an advocate supervisor that's closer to their home. If they want to meet with their youth, they could be closer to their home. You know, whatever it may be. We have CASA volunteers that come here to work on, for example, a couple of months ago, we had a volunteer that came with her youth so that they could use our printer to print stuff out for college applications.
Right. So
it's just another way to serve the kids in a different part of the county.
And it's nice too because you're able to get the word out there more. I feel through the Upland Chamber, through the local community, through the churches for one too. So there's more word going out when someone is ready, at that point you're there. Hey, look, I have this opportunity for you. You have a big heart. How about now?
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. You know, we get great opportunities through the chamber, through going to churches. Some pastors have allowed us to go into their service to give a 5-minute blurb about CASA. And we're able to, you know, to speak to small churches, big churches. We're able to go to other organizations, you know, like the ones that aren't coming to mind right now. any of the service organizations, you know, to talk about CASA. And sometimes it's they may not be able to provide volunteers.
Of course.
But maybe they can provide ways such as, hey, you know what, we have a scholarship program or we have a matching program. You know, if you raise this amount of money, we will match it. Or, you know, so it's not, our goal is not to 100% to get volunteers. Mm-hmm. One is to, you know, brand awareness, let them know more about CASA. Because again, if you're not in the system or a part of the system, you don't know about CASA.
You have no idea. You just you have a big heart. What do you want to do with that?
Exactly.
It gives them an opportunity to actually get out there. And if they like kids, hey, how do I make a kid's life better?
Right. And then also the other thing that we can do is I did a presentation to the Sore Optimist Club last year, and they were able to come along inside and say, hey, we can't give financially, but we can donate product, you know, or we have churches that have said, hey, we have some of our Bible study members have wanted to do something. So they've given us backpacks, they've given us school supplies, so gifts in kind, things like that. So it doesn't always have to be volunteering or financial. It can be, you know, donating things as well.
And going to the foster care system, the big picture, how many volunteers are needed to, I want to not to match one-on-one per se, that are needed from the foster that, because I'm obviously they want your help, correct?
Yes. So currently we have about 6,700 kids in foster care just in San Bernardino County.
Okay.
Of that, we have about 250 kids currently that are on our wait list. And they will remain on our wait list until we can recruit enough people to come alongside these kids. And that relationship is a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And so in a county our size, we should be able to, you know, we should be able to pull 250 caring hearts into love on these kids. But, you know, just like anything, everybody's pulled in different directions.
And since we did Weird Talk a couple of years ago, has the number of volunteers increased at a higher rate since then? Because, like I said, you're putting more brand awareness out there, talking to more communities and programs. How does that work for you?
So definitely on the West End, we have seen an increase. My supervisor was just telling me a couple of days ago that we are on the West End, we are training the most amount of volunteers. Mm. Now, you know, just because I can pull numbers here by using, you know, social media and the Nextdoor app and so on, doesn't mean that same strategy will work in the high desert or on the east end of the county. So each community outreach person really has to get to know their area and what works. So in the high desert, the newspapers, advertising in the newspaper work more effectively than social media does.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it might be age related, might be just what they're comfortable with, how they learn, how they look for information.
Absolutely, and surprisingly, there's still, you know, many people that don't want to be on social media.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who those people are, but there's some people out there.
Exactly.
There's a couple people out there.
Exactly.
But whatever way you want to get your information, connect to people, and part of being healthy is being somewhat social, is your way. And like you said, going to churches, there may be some people that are Mary and Jane that really don't go on Facebook or Instabook, whatever they call it these days.
Right.
So why not connect with them directly?
Exactly.
You know, it's good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good.
So, you know, we have events throughout the year with our kids, you know, that we are able to provide a little bit of normalcy for our kids. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're able to engage our community either through the newspaper ads or social media ads, asking for donations. One thing that we did is last year, I put out on social media, hey, we're having a Halloween party for our kids on the West End.
Mm-hmm.
And volunteers came out like crazy to volunteer, you know, to donate candy or homemade cookies or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the Upland Police Department came out with their community impact team. Mm-hmm. And they came out and hang out with our kids. They brought a ton of candy,
mm-hmm.
not just like the little, you know, tiny chocolate bars, but they brought out the full-size bars. And our kids were walking out with bags, you know, about this full.
She had a dentist there too, because the dentist would have helped all the cavities after all the
exactly.
sugar.
Well, you know, we'll work on the dentist later, but we're trying to change the perception that our kids also have of police officers. So
good.
This was a good stepping stone. And I actually got connected with the Upland Police Department because somebody saw my post on social media. And she is a volunteer with Upland Police Department. And so she reached out to the chief, got a couple of guys from our community impact team, as well as a sergeant and another detective that came out to hang out with our kids.
Wow.
You know, and just from that one event, I can tell you one incredible story. We had a young man, he was failing all of his classes. He was days away from getting jumped into a gang. And one of our officers pulled him aside, and he was shy, sitting in a corner, didn't want to make eye contact with anybody, didn't want to eat, didn't want to drink. And this officer took the time to just sit with him one-on-one. And because of that 10-minute conversation, this young man not only brought his grades up, was able to graduate early and get early admission into Chaffey College starting in January. And he's now inspired to be a police officer. So he's studying criminal justice. So, I mean, that's just a small way that, you know.
But it's a connection of, by doing this one thing, then things progress to here, 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 and here.
Exactly.
It just takes the extra time and effort sometimes to let people know what's going on, and it'll get in someone's head when they're ready.
Right. And
then spread the word that way.
Right. And the very cool thing that I kept hearing time and time again after this party was, I didn't know that anybody cared. I knew my volunteer cared because he or she's been with me for months or even years. But we didn't know that anybody in the community or anybody, especially police officers, who are only interaction oftentimes is when mom or dad are being arrested or when the youth is being taken out of their home. That's sometimes their only interaction. And so, but they had no idea that police officers cared about them or that a community loved on them so much that came together, you know, to throw this party for them.
Good.
So, you know, Upland has definitely loved on our kids in a big way. And so, you know, we are so appreciative of that.
Well, and just put more events out there.
Absolutely.
You know, all it comes down to. I mean, even though right now these things are a little bit shut down, but when you have, like, even with your golf tournament there, but it's more out there, at that point, by having things locally, even just small things, allow people to see that benefit.
Exactly.
You know, and whatever we can do as Upland Chamber, period, to help you out, obviously, you have the volunteers ready to go.
Right, and we have, we've created a great partnership with Upland Community Resource Center, as well as Life Bible, who are currently running a donation drive for our kids. Gift cards, puzzles, games, things like that. Things that we can then give to our kids that, you know, they can have a sense of normalcy in the chaos.
Good.
And so it's a way to come alongside of our kids and love on them and let them know that the community did this.
It doesn't take that much, right? It doesn't take that much.
No, not at all.
Good.
So we're appreciative of that.
And just to kind of wrap it up, what's the biggest thing that will help people feel they want to volunteer? What's a good motivator for them? What are you looking for volunteers?
I mean, there's no special requirement. As long as you have a caring, loving heart, you know, we can use you. You know, if you are someone that has to know everything about that youth, wants to be on their social media pages, wants to be that overall overprotective mama bear or papa bear.
The helicopter parent?
Yes.
So got it.
You're probably not the right program for you.
Good.
But if you are somebody that that wants to change the story of one child that may have had a pretty rough background and rough upbringing, if you feel that you have, you know, 12 to 15 hours a month that you can dedicate to one child, phone calls, Zoom video chats, sending them cards or notes or whatever, just encouraging them and investing in their lives, then we are the right program for you. I can tell you that in my life, I had one person that invested in my world when I was in foster care, and Virginia changed my life. Mm-hmm. And that was 30 some years ago. We won't go into what that 30 some number is.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I'm going to reach up here on my bulletin board, and I keep a picture of Virginia with me. And because of her, she made an incredible impact in my life and is still an important part of my life. You know, oftentimes with our volunteers, they build such a rapport with our kids that our kids call them mom and dad or mom or whatever it may be. So I have called Virginia mom for as long as I've known her, you know, and so sometimes that's the only per se parental connection that you may have.
Got it. Okay.
But also, you know, and one thing I want to mention is once the youth is no longer in the foster care system or you've come off of their case, you can still be involved with that youth's life or in that youth's life. If they're under the age of 18, you need the court's permission to be an interested party. If they're over the age of 18, obviously they have the right to consent to stay in contact with you. But our kids, oftentimes our volunteers make that lifelong connection with our kids. Yeah. So it's exciting. It is exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting, sometimes uncomfortable, but even as a volunteer, you're going to grow as a person also, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, we see time and time again where the volunteer has said, hey, you know what? This youth has changed my life.
Wow.
You know, they've taught me resilience. They've taught me perseverance. They've taught me skills that I've never had until I met them.
Wow.
Now, you know, we certainly don't want them to, you know, volunteers to come to our program that, you know, is going to be looking at us as a skill building.
I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better person. Okay. Teach me.
Right. Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. This is not the right program, but,
you know, but if you have a good heart, like you said, we can build off of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Good. Well, thank you, Ben, for being on our second show for the second time.
Thank you.
You have, like I said, we're going to help you out whatever we can do.
Thank you.
I hope this video and this talk explains a lot of how COSTA can work. And as you put more social media out there, like your volunteers' testimonials, hint, hint, that'll get more people interested and connected with the overall community of Upland, Cucamonga, Claremont, Ontario, anywhere.
Absolutely. Right? Yes. Anywhere in our county. If anybody's interested in being a part of our newsletter, we do have testimonials, wink, wink, from our volunteers. We do, on our Facebook page, on our Instagram, and also on Twitter, we do have our testimonials from volunteers that are coming in, as well as we are working on getting videos from our kids who have aged out of foster care, or that are at least 18. To talk about the impact that ACASA has had in their life.
That's great.
Yes.
Good. And the show notes will have all the links to your local one here and you exactly, but also the overall ACASA program.
Absolutely.
If you're interested, please, 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 for you, a friend, a family member, at that point help a child out either through becoming a volunteer and or whatever Diane needs you help with. It all comes down. All right?
For training.
Thank you, Diane. I'm turning the show off to see what's going on.
I hope you found this talk helpful to understand how CASA works. So if you're an advocate for a child, for a foster child, you can make a difference in their life for the rest of their lives. Diane, she had mentioned she went through the program when she was a child, is where she is now and how she's become so successful in paying it forward to the next group of foster children going through her program. Again, Upland is your new satellite office. Connect with her directly if you want to become a direct advocate for these children, or just help the community overall promote CASA and what they can do to help these foster kids and foster homes. Right, again, the show notes has the overall video of this overall talk with Diane, along with the previous podcast too, and again with the highlights of this talk. So you can jump right there if you want to learn more about her program, how to become a qualified volunteer. Enjoy the week, my friends. Help a child out if you can, help someone else out, and just help yourself out, feel better in these COVID times. Have a great week.